If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Let's move on. Going over to Sean Diddy Combs. Now, he walked into that Manhattan courtroom wrapped in everything he's ever used to define himself. God. Power, fame, family, philanthropy, trauma. And by the time he walked out, that armor had cracked. Because for the first time, a federal judge didn't just listen to Diddy's narrative. He listened to the women. He handed down 4 years and 2 months in federal prison. Not a slap on the wrist, not time served in a tour of middle schools, not a redemption arc wrapped in designer fabric, just a sentence for violence, for coercion, for decades of unchecked entitlement disguised as influence. We're going to walk through what actually happened in the courtroom on Friday, because if you only heard the sound bites, you missed the truth. And we got a lot to go through. We're going to go through Cassie's letter that was submitted to the judge. We're also going to take a look at the very overly produced Sean Combs video. That's right. He came with a pre-produced Sean Combs promo.
Of course
for
he
himself.
Did.
Yes.
Of course he did. My God, I would have been so let down if he hadn't.
Why wouldn't you? When you're trying to sell that you're just a regular man of the people, why would you not come in with an 11-minute promo video for your greatness after you've been accused of doing some of the most horrific things imaginable, including on camera?
It was so Diddy of him, wasn't it?
That's what I said over the weekend.
Like, everything that we saw was just so Diddy. And I'm using that in my real life. Like, if somebody does something absurd, that is so Diddy of you.
Are you are you retiring That's So Raven?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, Diddy did not have a great day in court on Friday. The first thing out of Judge Aaron Semiranian's mouth wasn't about Diddy's success. It was about the survivors. He called their stories horrific, but stories of courage. He looked directly at the record, the women who testified, the trauma they endured, and said, "We heard you. I'm proud of you for coming to the court to tell the world what really happened." That moment cut through everything. No branding, no bodyguards, no billion-dollar portfolio could shift the focus quite back onto Diddy. But for the first time in that room, that mattered. Someone chose to believe the women before the myth. And one of those things that was believed was the words of Cassie Ventura. And I got her letter right here, and I'm going to read it. I didn't do an AI version of this. I'm just going to read it aloud. So this is Cassie's letter to the judge in its entirety. Dear Judge Submarinian, I have been in a cycle of thought and then overthought writing this letter to you. If there is one thing I've learned from this experience is that the victims and survivors will never be safe. Although I can hope for justice and accountability, I have come to not trust anything. I hope that your decision considers the truths at hand that the jury failed to see. For 4 days in May, while 9 months pregnant with my son, I testified in front of a packed courtroom about the most traumatic and horrifying chapter in my life. I testified that from age 19, Sean Combs used violence, threats, substances, and control over my career to trap me in over a decade of abuse. He groomed me into performing repeated S acts and hired male S workers during multi-day freak-offs, which occurred nearly weekly. I was forced into lingerie and heels, told exactly how to look, and piled with drugs and alcohol so he could control me like a puppet. These events were degrading and disgusting, leaving me with infections, illnesses, and days of physical and emotional exhaustion before he demanded it all again. S acts became my full-time job, used as the only way to stay in his good graces. I testified that I learned to read Sean Combs' signals, knowing that when he spoke of freak-offs, he was demanding them, and that refusing meant punishment, losing my car, my phone, or worse. He controlled every part of my livelihood and threatened to destroy my reputation by leaking the tapes, a threat he repeated often. His power over me eroded my independence and sense of self until I felt I had no choice but to submit. When he believed I had wronged him or was not sufficiently responsive, he also threatened people around me and those close to me, including my family. I regularly worried that displeasing him meant putting my family and friends' safety at risk. I testified how beyond these threats, Sean Combs frequently used violence to get his way. Over the nearly 11 years we were together, Sean Combs would hit me, punch me, stomp on my face, pull my hair, and throw my body to the ground and against the wall. The jury saw pictures of bruises on my back from Combs kicking me and saw the deep gash over my eye he caused when he slammed me into the bed frame. The entire courtroom watched actual footage of Combs kicking me and beating me as I tried to run away from a freak-off in 2016. People watched this footage dozens of times, seeing my body thrown to the ground, my hands over my face, curled into a fetal position to shield me from the worst blows. This physical violence caused bruises that makeup artists, paid for by Sean Combs, would cover up, as well as permanent scars all over my body. During my time with Combs, I was in a constant state of hypervigilance, as I was always anticipating demands for S acts or otherwise fearing retribution for any perceived slight. My descent into substance abuse was directly correlated with his increased control over my body, my money, my freedom, and my free will. I used those drugs to push through the horrifying S acts he demanded and to numb myself to the physical pain and emotional turmoil I was constantly in. While the defense attorneys at trial suggested that my time with Combs was akin to a great modern love story, nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing about this story is great, modern, or loving. This was a horrific decade of my life, stained by abuse, violence, forced S, and denigration. I spent the last 7 years of my life slowly rebuilding myself, physically getting clean from the drug abuse Sean Combs forced and encouraged, and mentally understanding how to live with a seemingly insurmountable level of trauma. The horrors I endured drove me to have thoughts of suicide, once I almost followed through on, if not for my family's intervention and urging that I seek professional care. I've been to rehab and have taken part in dozens of types of therapy modalities to comfort, compartmentalize, and cope with the horrific memories of the abuse I endured nearly 10 years of. While what he did to me is always present, I am slowly learning how to live my life free of fear and horrors I endured. And in doing so, I'm fully devoted to my husband and my children. I still have nightmares and flashbacks on a regular, everyday basis and continue to require psychological care to cope with my past. My worries that Sean Combs or his associates will come after me and my family is my reality. I have, in fact, moved my family out of the New York area and am keeping as private and quiet as I possibly can because I am so scared that if he walks free, his first actions will be swift retribution towards me and others who spoke up about his abuse at trial. As much progress as I have made in recovering from his abuse, I remain very much afraid of what he's capable of and the malice he undoubtedly harbors towards me for having the bravery to tell the truth. His defense attorneys claim he is a changed man and he wants to mentor abusers. I know firsthand what real mentorship means, and this disgusts me. He's not being truthful. I know that who he was to me, the manipulator, the aggressor, the abuser, the trafficker, is who he is as a human. He has no interest in changing or becoming better. He'll always be the same cruel, power-hungry, manipulative man that he is. When I came out with my allegations in my civil case, he flatly denied them again and again. It was only after actual footage corroborated the exact words in my civil complaint that he issued an insincere apology on the internet. Thanks to the footage and my testimony, this is also something he will forever be associated with. For over a decade, Sean Combs made me feel powerless and unimportant. But my experience was real, horrific, and deserves to be considered. While the jury did not seem to understand or believe that I engaged in freak-offs because of the force and coercion the defendant used against me, I know that is the truth, and his sentence should reflect the reality of the evidence and my lived experience as a victim. Reliving in detail the events and truths described through the trial and this letter causes me tremendous emotional pain. I am trying with all that I am to move on. I hope that your sentencing decision reflects the strength it took for victims of Sean Combs to come forward. I hope that your decision considers the many lives that Sean Combs has upended with his abuse and control. I thank you for your time and attention. Cassandra Ventura Fine. So she laid it out pretty good. I think anybody, I want to say this because I was thinking this as I was reading it. If he gets out, I know it's going to be like 3 years, but I think there's an if, and we'll talk about that in a minute. If he does any events, if he goes back and has another tour, that should be required reading as you buy the ticket. You know, it's like, okay, here's the agreement. And this is who you're buying the ticket for, by the way. Just so you're all aware, anybody who wants to go see this guy or be inspired by this guy, come on. He's a monster. And I hope a broomstick finds him in prison and ends it. But, you know, that's wishful thinking. What are your thoughts?
Well, I noticed Stacey was very touched by that letter, so I'm going to let her go first.
Okay.
Maybe you should go. I don't think I can right now.
Well, I will just say that, and I agree with you, Tony, if this guy gets out in 2-3 years, whatever it is, 4 years, and thinks that he's going to have a career after this, shame on anybody who supports it.
He had bookings. That's the other, he was booked for this week because he thought he was going to get out.
Exactly. This guy really felt like, hey, I did this stuff. It was horrible, but look at me now. I'm all better. And it's like, nah, you're not. It doesn't change like that. I'm not saying that you can't make your life better. You can't become a better person. But in this case, what you've done is so horrific that be a good person if you want. It just doesn't change what you did. And I'm sorry, nobody should ever trust you again, ever, ever. And after he said, hey, these are things I didn't do. And then the video comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I mean, right. Come on.
I feel like, and I know this would be extreme and we can't do this in this country, but you know, just like how like predators, child predators and such, if they committed their crimes on the internet, they're not allowed then to like use the internet. Correct. Or have access to it anymore.
Right.
I feel like somebody like him, like shouldn't have access to cameras. like after you've had, and that means you can't be on camera. You can't own cameras. You can't make appearances on cameras.
Unless it's a 24-hour-a-day body cam that records everything you freaking do.
Then they'd find a loop, but something like that, where it's like, so he can't go get in the spotlight and bamboozle more people into his bullshit, because that's what's going to happen. There's going to be people, if he gets out, oh, look, he's a changed man. It's Diddy. It's, oh, because people want to remember the Diddy of the 90s, where it's more money, more problems, and it's a big shiny music video with lights sparkling everywhere, and it's a big old fun time, because we don't want to look at things of our past and go, oh, that really wasn't as I guess, you know, poppy and fun as it was made out to be. Hell, look at the Cosby Show. Not exactly the family atmosphere we all thought it was. Now, was it? But the same sort of thing is here. But there's, you still have people that will still buy the bullshit. Cosby still, if he goes out, he still can sell out places. It's insane.
Do you believe, either one of you, that his kids who spoke at his sentencing actually believe that he's a changed man?
Yes, I think they all do.
Do they, really?
Yeah.
I think they are so steeped in all that is Diddy.
Yeah.
That they don't understand what reality should be.
Yes. And that's why.
Exactly. If they were to step out of this bubble and really take a good look at it, they would see something that does not agree with them, that would not allow them to sleep at night. But they're so into this lifestyle. And I think that's why this letter hit me personally so hard. I'm going to open up a little bit here. Financial manipulation is something that I'm starting to question about my own life. I'm not going to go into great detail, but nothing like this has happened to me. But as I'm hearing this letter, I kind of sat back and went, how many women have dealt with something with just even a shade, a sliver of this in their lives? They've been with an abusive boyfriend or husband. They've been with somebody who is controlling them. They don't know how to get out. They're afraid of what they're going to lose if they do get out. There's just this overwhelming fear. And how many women are living in this fear? Not to this extreme, but to hear a letter like this and see some of yourself checking boxes a little bit, absolutely fucking triggered me. And if you want to rewind and go back to a few minutes ago, I lost my shit and had to go off camera for a second.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's so raw. This is the first time I actually read the letter all the way through. Right there. And I mean, it very much spells out what a monster he is, and it further exemplifies just how crazy what we're going to show you in just a moment is. Because what he brought to court after victim impact statements and then tried to sell to the judge, because the jury's no longer part of this anymore. The jury does nothing to do with sentencing. It's up to the judge. Sean Combs thought that, okay, even though all of these pieces are here, these statements, these letters, it doesn't even register in his mind that maybe it's not time for a promo video about my greatness. In his mind, this is the way. And apparently in his attorneys as well, unless Sean's just calling all the shots and the attorneys are like, well, you know, whatever.
He's paying me, you know, the hour. I'm getting, you know, $800 an hour to represent this guy. So, you know, I need a new Ferrari.
Which could very well be the case. But the damage that he did is, it's insane. And it's insane he didn't get more. What I was saying earlier, I said, you know, 3 years, because he's got time served for 1 year, basically. And then you look at the math of how it will play out, if it's good behavior and all that, you're probably looking at about 2-ish years that he'll realistically serve. And then he's out. But that's 2 years. It took less than a year to bring the charges on him and then actually end up at trial. Remember, this trial happened far sooner than anybody thought it would.
Yeah.
We all thought this thing was going to be like playing out years down the road, but it came. And I don't know that there's more. I would suspect the fact that you have hundreds of other people making allegations, you might have enough material for another federal case. Just saying. Maybe you do, or some other case. It doesn't have to be federal, just some other criminal case. I would think there might be enough data out there for that. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, they have all of the freak off videos. The government does. And apparently that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough to get this further down the road. And you can't go reuse all that again. I do have some suspicions as to maybe why they didn't have enough, because I'm going to guess there might have been more than enough other folks in some of those videos that names didn't want to get out. And maybe there was a reason that the charges didn't go further on Diddy. That's my own personal opinion. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but, you know, we know how Jeffrey Epstein worked. I don't think this is a far cry in a lot of ways of people that may have been involved in his circle that had a vested interest and have the power to make sure that, well, that doesn't get out.
Yeah.
So would not be shocked there. But it's beyond smoke. I mean, this is a fireworks stand ablaze right now. And and shit's flying everywhere. And it's going to continue to. Every single week, there are still new civil cases coming in. And again, he is, you know, on any of those charges, you know, he deserves his day in court. He deserves to be able to argue them and fight them. But just as those people do deserve the right to tell their story. And will you have some BS in there? Sure. But to this level, this many people accusing you of stuff? I mean, come on. I would not be surprised if there is another criminal trial within the course of the next 2 to 3 years that keeps him in longer. That's my hoping, knock on wood or fake wood or whatever, prediction.
Interesting.
If he's in prison, can they actually pull more charges against him, or do you have to wait? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If they, statute of limitations is your biggest thing with a lot of his stuff, but
yep.
I don't know. Stuff keeps coming up. I would not imagine the amount of shit. I don't know how he got away with it to this level, to only get 2 years for all of the crap that he has been accused of doing or has been proven to have done.
I'm hoping that Cassie's letter gives some strength to anybody else who has a story that isn't told yet, that needs to be told.
Yeah.
It was very well written. Unlike, I didn't think his letter was well written to the judge. I thought that was, and I know we made
it was repetitive video. Too.
It was the same thing over and over and over about how he changed. But I hope that letter gives some strength and solace to those who have gone through some stuff with Diddy themselves.
Yeah, I completely agree.
In our chat, by the way, I'm sorry to interrupt. Is it Jeannie or Jean? Says, well, maybe he'll have the same thing happen to him in prison. Funny, he's so afraid of SA in prison. What does he think he was doing all those years?
Well, exactly.
You nailed it. Yep. Yeah. Poetic justice, maybe.
Or is he going to arrange this into something where it's like, I don't know. He's such a manipulator. I wouldn't put anything past anything of the way he's going to frame it.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus plans November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.